Just in time for summer, the folks at Epic Brewing have released a new canned cocktail, the Utah Margarita. A delicious blend of real lime and agave, the Utah Margarita is ready to drink by the river or in the park. And here's the kicker, no need to buy it at a liquor store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's, or visit Epic Brewing on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. Here's what Salt Lake's talking about. It was named the Trial of the Century. Academy Award winner Gwyneth Paltrow was sued by a retired optometrist named Terry Sanderson, who claimed injury when the two collided on a ski slope in Deer Valley. Now the he said, she said courtroom battle has come back to life. After a world premiere in London, Gwyneth Goes Skiing is having its U.S. premiere where the action all began, right here. It's Tuesday, March 19th. I'm Allie Vallarta, and this is CityCast Salt Lake. Joseph Martin and Linus Karp, writers and stars of Gwyneth Goes Skiing. Welcome to America, almost.
Thank you. Yes.
Yeah, this is like an early intro. Thank you.
Early intro. Okay, what makes Gwyneth Paltrow's ski trial in a tiny courtroom here in Utah so suited for a stage adaptation starring the two of you and a puppet?
Good question. I think what makes it so funny is that it was such a, in many ways, a ridiculous case. And you take someone like Gwyneth Paltrow, who's such a fascinating character. Like, she's a Hollywood star, but she's so much more than that. She's a Goop founder. She's been in the media for decades, and, you know, an Oscar winner. She's had so many famous relationships. She's had so many famous quotes and products, etc., etc. So you take that world and then place that in a tiny courtroom in Utah, in that very serious surrounding. And when those two worlds marry, it's just quite magical. You get moments like, are you friends with Taylor Swift? Or I wish you well, of course, I lost half a day of skiing, and so on. And I think when we were watching the trial, we were just like, there's something to this. We need to make a show about this.
Yeah. Joseph, was there an aha moment? Like, someone said something and you were like, yes, it's a go.
I think it was I Wish You Well, because as Lena said, he sort of said to me a few points, like, wouldn't this be a fun show? And you sort of go, well, yeah, potentially, but are people still going to remember it when the time comes? And like, is this just this is a quick meme and then people will forget about it and move on? But there is something about the theatricalness of her walking past Terry Sanderson and then stopping and leaning and say, like, everything about it is so... feels so calculated and choreographed and camp and like a spotlight should have been on her. And I feel like it would have been a disservice to it if we didn't do something after that moment. I feel like that's what she was begging for it to happen. Mm-hmm. And we're happy to facilitate.
She saw us as we saw her.
Yeah,
she broke the fourth wall with us.
Exactly. And the drama, like when it first happened, everyone was just like, she's leaning over and saying something, but what is she actually saying? And it wasn't until like after, when he was then saying what she had said, and that was nice of her. Like, yeah, everything about it was just so, like, yeah, so dramatic, so camp, and so like, this is ready for the stage.
I mean, the fact that he thought her saying that was nice of her is just like, you are a foil in this room. Like, this room...
Yes.
I don't think he knew what he was in for.
That man really did not know what he was getting in for at all. And I do feel for him in that respect, you know, but like, I don't feel like he'd ever be in a hurry to repeat that whole experience.
No, it's a cautionary tale to suing a celebrity.
Especially when it would look as though that you're in the wrong. That's what the jury found.
Yeah, and I think the fact that Gwyneth actually decided to take it to trial rather than just like settling out of court shows that, I mean, she was very determined and convinced that she was in the right.
Yeah, it had a how dare you sort of sheen.
Yeah.
Your London premiere was so well received. And my understanding, I haven't seen the show yet. I have tickets for the first night in Park City. But my understanding is that this is a very loose adaptation of events. But the thing about satire is that it often does a better job conveying the truth sometimes than the truth itself. Is this all just for fun, or are there some real lessons here?
I think I would say it's probably 99% for fun. We're having so much fun doing it, and it is very silly, very joyous, full of pop culture, full of Gwyneth references and so on. Like, it's a warm embrace of what the trial sort of has become, because even though I'm sure it was stressful to the people involved at the time, it obviously became this actually very joyful thing online and in the news. I think it's rare that the news have a story that has such a positive impact in a way, because, you know, often when there are trials and even when there are celebrity trials, they are quite dark, like the Johnny Depp trials or Michael Jackson trials or so on. Like, you know, there's this, like, these awful accusations, there's like a lot of darkness to it. And even if it's fascinating to a lot of people, it's not actually enjoyable. Whereas this was a trial that were like, the stakes were quite low. It was like, who skied into who? And, you know, all these ridiculous things and memes and accusations that went flying around. I think we could all just be fascinated and really entertained by it. I think that's what makes the case.
Yeah, in a situation like that, I don't see why you would need to let the truth, quote unquote, hold you back in the circumstance. Because, as Lena says, it's very serious. It's very important to the people that are there living it. But ultimately, the real world impact is nothing, which gives you that artistic license to take that, have some fun with it. And the thing is, we're not recreating, per se, the court case. What we are presenting on stage is the people's reaction to it online. You know what I mean? We are building the world that the memes of this trial live in.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We are not faithfully recreating every aspect of Park City or the courtroom or Deer Valley Resort. You know, we're taking everything around it and what people think they know and what people wish had happened and all that kind of stuff and just having fun with it. And as you say, I think satire really allows you to do that. Is there lessons in there? I mean, there's lessons in all sorts of theatre, but it's predominantly for fun.
Yeah, I do think, I mean, I'm for sure there'll be points to be made about, you know, celebrity culture and so on. But most of all, like, it is a thing for fun. And obviously, like, I'm also an incredibly believable Gwyneth Paltrow. So I think that's reason enough to come along, really.
Yeah, sure you are.
I want to get into that, but I also want to ask you about music. You all have described Gwyneth Goes Skiing as a play with music, but not a musical. And yep. The music was written by Leland, the resident songwriter for RuPaul's Drag Race. Are there any like couplets or stanzas he wrote about the trial that you're particularly proud of or still get stuck in your head?
Well, so I think all of the songs that he delivered were instantaneous earworms. Mm. And really, normally when you're working with a composer or you're creating music like that, the usual expectation is we deliver a first draft of some lyrics and some reference songs, things we think might work quite nicely, and then you have back and forth while you sort of perfect it. The first drafts that Leland came back with for all of four of the songs that are in there were like, yep, these are perfect. This is absolutely great. Let's go with that. Like, there were very few notes, which just does not happen.
Oh, yeah. No, yeah. We were just screaming, like, when we first played the songs, like, hearing his, like they're such pop bangers. And, like, they're exactly, like, way beyond what we could even, like, have imagined. He's just such an amazing songwriter. And to hear our very stupid lyrics being, like, made into these amazing pop songs, it was just so much fun. And he's been so amazing throughout, because at first we were sort of like asking if he wanted to write one song for it, and he's like, oh, what, don't you think it could be more, and blah blah. So like a very amazing collaborative process, and he's been so involved throughout. And you know, we were almost scared to ask someone like him who's so established and brilliant, and the fact that he really cared about the project and wanted to be involved with us, and that we sort of like made it into what it is now, has just been so amazing.
And I think whilst it is still a play with music rather than a musical, and I do think there's an important distinction between the two, actually, and it's not solely artistic, but it's what you expect as an audience goer, you know. But I think where the show is at is at a point where if you go expecting a musical, you won't be disappointed. If you go expecting a play with music, you also won't be disappointed. I think it sits quite nicely in the middle ground between the two. It is, you know, there are song numbers, there is some dancing, but neither of us are dancers, neither of us are professional singers.
But that's not
so we have
stop
the incredible
us.
Darren Criss and Kat Cohen providing the singing voices. Exactly. Nor should it stop us. You know, you're coming to see a show that is, without being too artistic about it, you know, combining multiple art forms. It's got drag, it's got puppetry, it's got audience interaction, it's got song, it's got dance, it's got lip syncing. You know, you are coming for a night at the theatre, but that doesn't mean you necessarily know what you're getting yourself into.
Well, I don't want to ask you to sing, but for people...
Thank you.
Don't make me sing. But for people who are listening, who are planning to go to the show, are there any like lines or anything you wrote that you want them to listen for? Like listen to how you wrote this thing that sounds so silly or so funny, but the way that it comes to life in a song might like surprise them or bring them joy.
Well, okay, so the latest song for the show is a song for the puppets within the show, who is my lawyer, Kristen Van Orman. And one of the greatest rhymes that I've ever written is, I'm Kristen Van Orman, and yes, I'm a Mormon. I work as a lawyer. Yes, really, I do. And that, like, it... That is I'm some of my proudest work. I'm thrilled with it. I'm very excited to say it and perform it for people and for them to meet Kristen. So that's mine.
Okay, I love it.
Yeah, that is very good.
What about you, Linus?
I mean, my favorite song is probably the pre-interval number, which is sort of like when they've just collided on the ski slopes and sort of the anger in that. I just think that's the song that's been stuck in my head most of the time. And I do think that's such an earworm. It's such a great song.
There's a good line in there where you say, try to sue, you'll regret it, because I'll goop your ass in the second act, which is great fun.
Epic Brewing is one of the OGs in building Utah's craft beer scene. But I am most excited about their recent adventures in canned cocktails. First, they released the Utah Mule. And as a big fan of ginger, I have been sipping those for almost a year now. But now, this April, we have the Utah Margarita, a delicious, locally fermented blend of real lime and agave. And they create alcohol by fermenting cane sugar instead of using tequila, which means you can buy Utah Margaritas at the grocery store. Pick up a six-pack of Epic Brewing's Utah Margarita or Utah Mule at any local Harmon's or Trader Joe's. Or you can visit Epic Brewery on State Street in downtown Salt Lake City. They're open 7 days a week. And this fall, look out for the Utah Cosmo. So you mentioned that one of the pieces of the show is drag. It's drag-esque. It's not a drag show, but there are... There's one big drag element, which is that, Linus, you're playing Gwyneth Paltrow. Why is drag the right medium for telling this story?
Yeah, good question. And really, it might just come from, like, you know, my deluded decisions that I want to make myself the main attention of everything I do. I think when you're a man playing a woman, it allows for things that it wouldn't do otherwise. I think, like, you can, there's part of comedy and you can portray things in a way that if you were doing it, like if we went more naturalistic and, you know, had someone who looked like Gwyneth Paltrow, a woman actually playing her, wouldn't be as funny in certain ways, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, it allows certain elements of comedy. And then I think it was also, we'd just done a show previously to this one where I'd been playing Princess Diana. So I think when we were sort of like creating it, it was almost like, I don't think it was much of a question. It was just like, yeah, I'm going to be Gwyneth Paltrow.
But then, like, your makeup isn't, you know, stereotypical, like, drag queen makeup or things like that. I think, like, it's inherently drag, but I think it is also, it's more character acting, character performance than it is, you know, it's a unique interpretation of that character. So it's not a faithful recreation, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. But it's not full, as you say, it's not full drag queen. It's somewhere between the two.
Yeah. Well, and Gwyneth is also kind of a queer icon.
Absolutely.
Oh, we could talk at length about that. Yes.
And she's such a fun, exciting character. As you say, she's a queer icon. I mean, she was in Glee, if nothing else. So I think there's so much to lean into with that in the show. Mm-hmm. Like, it's been such a funny discovery to play her and to, like, delve into, like, all the different sides of Gwyneth.
Yeah. On the note of Gwyneth, like, this is a woman who is famously aloof. In an Architectural Digest tour, she used her Academy Award as a doorstopper. My favorite Gwyneth moment is when she was asked in an interview about Ben Affleck as a lover and described him as technically excellent. Yeah. The voice, the sense of irony, like the possibility that she actually doesn't have a sense of irony about all of this. Linus, how do you play this woman? Like, how do you train for this?
First, I'd just like to correct you, Ali. It was actually on Vogue that the Oscar was used as a doorstop.
Forgive me. Yeah. Fact check.
No, didn't she do it as both? Didn't she do both? I thought she did both.
Well, I don't think the Oscar was saying that. Anyway, yeah. Because I have watched a lot of Gwyneth videos, of course. I think, at first I was almost I mean, it's always, obviously, it always feels like daunting to take on a character like that. And I was just like, well, I'm a man. I'm a Swedish man. And now I have to be like this American female Hollywood superstar that everyone has so many opinions about. But then, like, the more you look at her, I don't know, she is just so great. And I do think she's very self-aware and funny as well. But it was very much sort of embracing this almost like otherworldly qualities she has, which is almost, you know, like floating, and she seems so at ease and comfortable in every situation. I think that was one of the things that made the trial so exciting as well. Like, whenever Gwyneth took the stand, she just, like, she didn't fluster. She never, like, stumbled. She was just, like, so at ease, and almost like, you know, there were many times when she was smiling and laughing throughout the trial as well at the things that were happening. Like, she always seems to be so, like, everything is great, which has been, like, a very fun quality to embrace, I guess.
Yeah.
There's also, there's no way that Gwyneth doesn't know exactly what she is doing. As it, like, I think she at some point, quite early on in her career, has recognized the background that she is from, the privileges that she has, the lifestyle that she leads, and that is, and all of those things, I think, collectively can very quickly alienate a group of people, as in the general public, yeah, right? But she has decided to utilize it in such a way that doesn't shy away from any of that, but knows that it's fun and knows that it is inherently a bit silly. I mean, you do not call a candle, "This candle smells like my vagina," or "This perfume smells like my orgasm." You do not release those products if you don't know exactly what they will do. And, like, it's a smart move. And she's done so much to, like, I know I say this as a cis man, but, like, she's done so much to push down taboos and barriers around female sexuality being a mainstream topic, right? You know, Goop was and is ahead of its time in that respect, whether it's a silly lifestyle thing or not.
Yeah, exactly.
I really like the woman.
And like you said, like, she was even saying, like, commenting on, like, her sex life with Ben Affleck and stuff. Like, I feel like she breaks down barriers and talks about sex and especially female pleasure in a way that still is seen as controversial. And I mean, I think people sometimes are very quick at, like, hating on her or like slagging her for various reasons, but, like, she is actually, like, she has done so much good. And I mean, and she's an amazing actor and entrepreneur as well. Like, she actually, like, is an incredible, smart, talented and beautiful woman who should be celebrated.
And if nothing else proves she has a sense of humor, Linus, please talk about the Instagram Q&A that she answered once.
Oh, she does, like, she sometimes does this Instagram Q&As. I will always send her, like, 10 questions and she never answers one of mine. But she did, like, one of them was, like, "Gwyneth, do you eat ass?" And she responded saying, like, "Not generally, no." Which I just think, like, it's so, the fact that she chose to respond and that response, just so funny. Like, there are so many of those responses, like, that where she, like, you can just tell that she clearly has a sense of humor.
I mean, do you want her to know about your play? Because I feel like sometimes when celebrities engage with their own memedom, it can go horribly wrong. Like, it's like, no, we don't. This is just for us. Like, we want you to stay over there. Would you want Gwyneth in the audience?
When we went viral with the show originally in kind of November time, a lot of the articles that wrote about it said, "We've written to Gwyneth's reps for comment." So we know that she knows about the show in some way.
That felt quite terrifying at first, but then actually we had a couple of people, like, someone messaged Leland, who had been working with Gwyneth, who said, like, "I actually think Gwyneth would love this. She's got such a great sense of humor." And that felt very reassuring, because I also think, like, the show, we never want to do something that seems too mean or anything like that. Like, it is obviously a joyful celebration and we mock and make fun of a lot of things. But generally, like, I really think Gwyneth would be able to come and see it and have a great time. And I would love that.
We poke fun at everyone and everything in an equal way. And it is all with love. Nothing, like, we're not ever really doing anything maliciously. And I think that's really important, because we've all seen impersonations or sketch comedy or similar where you can tell it doesn't come from a place of love or affection, and it's actually just an uncomfortable watch whether you're that person or not. So I think it's important that, and like, as I said, all the things I've said already about the product she releases and how self-aware she is, all of those things make me feel quite confident before we'd even heard from those people that she has a good enough sense of humor to recognize that this was probably going to be a thing.
Yeah,
and she's welcome to come. I'd love her to come and watch it. That would be great. I will. I said in an interview recently, I will personally find a way to finance her jet if she wants to come and see it.
I feel like it would be so terrifying to perform as Gwyneth in front of Gwyneth, but also, like, what a dream come true.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, ideally, then she's asked in the press how she felt about your performance, and she says it was technically excellent.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. You can just call me Ben Affleck.
Do you know what? Well, let's manifest this. It doesn't feel impossible. Yeah.
We can. How do you think that the Gwyneth Goes Skiing US premiere in Park City will like feel different than or land differently from the London premiere?
I think we're obviously UK based and have done a lot of shows here in the UK, and they feel it will be interesting to see like some if all the references travel over. Obviously, we're going to make sure that it's nothing that's UK specific, but just like the general sense of humor. But I do think it will go down well, especially because obviously like it's about like we have some, you know, we've got quite a lot of like Utah jokes and stuff in there. And I think people will probably respond to those in a hopefully even a better way than they did in the UK.
And we give the audience a vote in the show as to who they believe is the guilty party. So there are two different endings to the show, depending on who is found guilty. We've done the show for, it's a total of 5 weeks in London across two different runs. Terry has won 4 times, and those were all in the last week of the second run of the show. Oh, wow. Gwyneth has won every single time otherwise. So I think that in Utah, we're going to see the alternative reality in which Terry wins quite a lot more.
Probably.
I mean, yeah, they are going to vote with their own Utah man.
Yeah.
Well, and I think also like Utahns and Park City residents get so frustrated by like ski tourism and celebrity tourism here. Like Park City is exhausted by the Sundance Film Festival and things like that. So there's also just a little bit of like, if you're on our slopes, these are our rules. If you ski into our back, you're at fault.
Yeah, yeah. But also, like, I think that's... I also feel very aware that we are a company coming from 5,000 miles away to come and do a show about the town that we're performing in. And I want to make sure that Park City residents or Utah residents, anyone that travels to come and see the show, feel like that vibe, feel that we actually genuinely care about the place that we're coming to. And, like, I cannot overstate how fun this is for us. The idea that we are going to the same place where the trial happened to do our show about the trial. It is completely mad. And we couldn't be more thrilled. Like, we are going to go and have a good time, and we want people to enjoy themselves.
It's so exciting. Like, I can't wait to visit the courtroom and see Deer Valley and, like, be at those places where it actually happened. And it's, yeah, it's going to be so, so fun. It's also like, it's such an unexpected thing, because like, it's like when we make theater, we maybe hoped like, oh, maybe we can take it to, you know, New York one day or something like that. But I don't think we could ever dream to take our work to, you know, Park City, Utah, where the trial happened. It's just like, it's something we never saw coming. So we're just so, so thrilled.
Yeah, we'll do a Broadway run, sure, but it's never going to be as special as debuting in Park City, Utah. But I'd like the chance to find out. I mean, I'm going to be turning 29 while we're there. I will celebrate my 29th birthday in Park City. So if anyone's listening, please hit me up with the recommendations of what
please
to do on my 29th birthday, which is the 22nd of May. You can send gifts to the theater. No. But like, that's so exciting for me. That's wild.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Well, we've got you. We'll make a list of things that you have to do while you're here. But I mean, you're putting on this production basically daily while you're here. I did look at the schedule. It looks like you have 2 break days. What are you most excited to do with that time?
I want to go to the courtroom. Mm. I want to be in that room. I want to sit in those chairs. Mm-hmm. I want to go. I know that Deer Valley will be closed for off season, but you know, if anyone's listening from Deer Valley, I'd love a cheeky little visit. Just even the gift shop, which also has a scene in the play. I want to see what Park City has to offer.
Yeah.
I would love to see as much nature as possible as well. Like, I'm from Sweden, and all I hear about Utah is how amazing the nature is. So I can't wait to like see and explore some of that. And obviously like to travel into Salt Lake City and surrounding areas and just explore as much as possible. I mean, we're going to have to work very quickly in the limited amount of time we have, but very excited to see as much as possible.
Am I right in thinking that you have a tramway that goes through Park City?
We do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, from Main Street.
I want to ride the tram. That's like, transport is my nerdy interest. So I want to ride that tram through Main Street. That's what I want.
I just have to tell you both, I really think that all of this can be arranged quite easily. Like, I know we have listeners that work at Deer Valley. I know that someone is going to email and be like, you want to see the gift shop? Like, yeah,
yes,
we can do that.
Oh, please, let's have these discussions. I mean, what I really want is to go onto the slope where the collision happened, but I've also, the only time I've ever stepped foot on skis in my life is on stage in this show. So I'm not a skier.
Yeah, but it might be grass, so you might be able to just kind of hike up there.
Yeah, in May, there's not going to be any skiing for you, I don't think.
No, thank goodness. That's probably for the best.
Joseph Martin and Linus Karp, writers and stars of Gwyneth Goes Skiing. Can't wait to have you here. Safe travels. I guess I should say, I wish you well.
Nah.
Oh, we wish you well. Thank you for having us.
We'll see you in May.
We can't wait.
Tickets to Gwyneth Goes Skiing at the Egyptian Theater in Park City are on sale now. They start at $40 and the show runs May 16th through 26th. You can scoop them at parkcityshows.com. I also put a link in the show notes. And if you work at Deer Valley or have a friend who works at Deer Valley and can arrange a visit for Linus and Joseph, please email us, saltlake@citycast.fm. That is all for us today here on CityCast Salt Lake. We will be back tomorrow morning with more from around this city. I wish you well.